Our first lesson is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We read the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12, and he began to send them out 2 by 2, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our hands and feet, Lord, strengthen. With joy our spirits bless. Until we see the ending of all our life's distress. And so throughout our lifetime, keep us within your care. And at our end, then bring us to heaven to praise you there. Amen. In our epistle reading this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we heard Paul quote the Lord as saying to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And we might let that verse wash up against our ears like another wave that comes from the pulpit when the scriptures are read week after week after week. And it was in the second paragraph already, so you may have lost a little bit of your focus. But now that I bring it up again, you may be thinking, oh, well, that's nice. God's grace is sufficient for us. It sounds so comforting. Strength made perfect in weakness. Yes, we like the sound of that. But I don't think that that is how Paul heard it, at least not at first. Now, obviously, he eventually came to accept it. He wrote it down for us because it was, after all, a statement that the Lord had made. But this changed the way that Paul thought, or at least it drove home something that Paul had believed, but maybe had not experienced himself in a way that made the point truly his own. And that point is made by what Paul calls a thorn in his flesh, and God's response to a prayer that Paul had offered. Now, Paul, like us, Paul had heard stories about Jesus' miracles, stories like the miracles we've been hearing past several weeks as we've been working through the Gospel of Mark. He had heard about Jesus healing the sick by touching them, or the sick being healed by them, even touching the hem of his garment. Paul had heard about Jesus casting out demons. Paul had heard about Jesus raising people from the dead. And so he had heard these, and Paul had seen and spoken with Christ himself. So when Paul has a hardship in his life, and we are not exactly sure what the specific hardship is, Paul calls it a thorn in his flesh. He also calls it a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And so we don't know if it's physical, if it's mental, if it's spiritual, even if it's something so simple as someone who mocks Paul continually throughout his preaching at different times. Whatever it is, something is not going well for Paul. And at this point, Paul does what I think we would do, or at least what we should do. Paul prays to God for help. And specifically, he prays that God would remove this thorn from his side. So Paul prays, and he waits for a while, and nothing changes. So Paul prays again. He waits a while, nothing had changed. So Paul prays again. Then, at that point, comes the statement from God that we quoted earlier. It is the Lord's answer to Paul's repeated prayer. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul had heard these stories about Christ healing people. He had heard the stories about Christ casting out demons, about Christ simply helping those who called out to him. And Paul did exactly that. He called out to God for help. And God responds to that prayer with what could only be considered a no, followed by, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And to be clear, the weakness there is going to be Paul's weakness. Paul would continue to put up with that thorn in his side. And God says, I am going to work not by removing your weakness, but rather through that weakness of Paul. And you can see, even in our short epistle reading this morning, you can see how this changed Paul. The reading began with Paul talking about a friend of his who had seen visions and revelations of heaven, maybe something like John sees at the end of the scriptures that he calls a revelation. And you can imagine just how heady that kind of revelation, that kind of experience could tend to make someone. This is not simply some half-remembered dream of a very, very nice place. No, Paul says it was something, it was much more solid than that. Paul thought that he may have been in the body at the time. It was that real. It was that solid. He could remember it that easily. And so, like I said, having that revealed to you probably goes to your head. Look through the scriptures. See how many people, even of the saints and the prophets in the Old Testament, see how many that had happened to them. God personally revealed that to them. And if you do, You will see that the answer is not very many at all get that kind of treatment. Not very many at all in all of the history that we have in the Scriptures. But Paul did. And that had to make him feel good. It had to make him feel like he was in God's inner circle. It had to make him feel like he was God's confidant. Yet here we have the same Paul from the inner circle asking God for a favor. And God says, nah, you'll be fine. My grace is sufficient for you. I will even demonstrate my power through your weakness, Paul. So as I said before, I don't know that this statement was initially comforting to Paul. It becomes comforting, but undoubtedly there was a period of adjustment. What Paul had been praying for was denied him. Paul eventually comes to see that the thorn that was in his side was there at least for other reasons, maybe, but at least for the reason to keep him from becoming conceited, keep him from becoming too puffed up, too elated, thinking too highly of himself because he had had that revelatory experience. And yet Paul comes to see the comfort in this statement, as should we, that even in his weakness, Paul belonged to the Lord. The Lord was still in charge. The Lord was still going to work his works. But through Paul's weakness, Paul was going to get to exhibit in some small way the way that God often works. And if you search through the Scriptures, you will see that the way that God often works is through weakness, is in humble ways. He works in ways that are denied all of the time by people. And we see that going on in our gospel reading from Mark chapter 6. Even after Jesus had done glorious things, even after he had done miracles, nevertheless, he is denied and rebuffed and not accepted. And it is still in weak and humble ways that God works to us today. So we too have to repeatedly learn the same lesson that Paul had to learn. Because we also want this gospel stuff. We want God's word and works to be true. But we want it at the same time to be glorious. We want it to be true, but we don't want it to be true in a way that is weak. We don't want it to be true in a way that is pathetic, in a way that may even be painful for us, in ways that do not immediately put an end to the sorrows and the trials and the tribulations that we go through in our lives. But until the Son comes in his glory, this will not be so. Until then, the Word of God will go out. The Word of God will be read and preached from pulpits. The Word of God will be passed down from parent to child, from neighbor to neighbor, and it will be accepted by some while being ignored or denied or even mocked by others. We will continue to be fed Christ's body and blood, but in bread and wine, a meal that does not seem or look glorious at all. People will continue to be baptized into Christ's death and resurrection by ordinary water combined with God's word. And we will continue to live that way. We'll continue to live our lives with our own thorns and probably even most likely without the revelatory experience that Paul was tempted to brag about. And yet we will still have the revelation that God has forgiven us on account of his Son, Jesus Christ. That we are still his. He will be our God forever. And we will continue to follow our Lord, who tells us that throughout all of these different things, throughout all of our trials and sorrows, his grace is still sufficient for us. That even in our weaknesses, we are still his. And he will work through them This is ultimately he worked through his son's dying and rising to save the whole world. And if we continue that way, if we continue and look to God, we will see that that message gives us the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, but guards and keeps our hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus forever. Amen.